breaking down the biggest stories, talking about what really matters, and bringing you the biggest forum to let your voice be heard. Now, broadcasting live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue, here's Steve Scafidi.
And welcome to the special Father's Day weekend edition of the Zepecki McCosh and Political Power Hour. Gentlemen, Joe Zepecki, welcome.
Hello, good morning.
Bill McCosh, good to see you as
good
always.
Good morning.
Bill's hair looking spectacular today.
That's why I don't have a hat on backwards.
Yeah, Joe.
For you watching
Joe,
at
not
home.
Too bad.
Passable.
Yeah, not too
okay,
bad.
Okay, okay.
I don't know if you caught any of the Harry Chapin conversation. So Bilstead, Eric Bilstead, went to town on Harry Chapin, and I could tell you looking at the old National Bank talking text line, not a popular take. So his thing was basically that Harry was not the father that he tried to make himself out to be, and his son was nothing like him versus what it says in the song. Your hot takes on that.
I think
that.
He's messing with history. I listened to it on the way in, and I'm going to disagree with my friend Eric. I think he's messing with history, and the kid is exactly like the old man.
Mm. Pass.
I didn't hear the take.
Okay. All right. Well, I laid it out for you there. And first of all, there's no such thing as pass on this show.
Right?
Oh, really?
I'll walk somebody in here that will not say pass on a very tough question like that.
You can have a wrong take, but you can't have a no take.
Did you see our list? We got a lot to get to.
We got a lot to cover today.
So yeah, let me pull up said list.
Buckle up. Tighten your chin straps. Here we go.
All right. So obviously the big story this week, the passage so far, waiting a signage of the shared revenue bill. We've heard a lot of hot takes, including some that say it's racist. We'll start with you, Joe. We have a Democratic governor and a Republican legislature. Is this everything it could have been, or is this just the way it has to be with divided government?
It's the way it has to be with divided government. No, nobody gets everything they want. I understand where folks on the left are coming from with some of these criticisms, and it's divided government. You can operate in the world as you wish it was, or you can choose to operate in the real world as it is. That is what this deal reflects. It is not perfect. You know, if we've said it once, we've said it a million times, you can't let the perfect be the enemy of the good enough in this case. Municipalities will have more revenue. There will be more money spent on education in this budget cycle than the last 2 years. There's a lot of good in here. And listen, people need to let some steam out of the teapot and, you know, throw their pet issues and positions out so people know where they stand.
Is that what that is? Just that noise?
I think so. But at the end of the day, this is going to get done. The governor's going to sign it. And, you know, down the road, the city council and the county board are going to have to do the right thing. And I believe that they will. I'm not going to Eeyore it today.
I like that. So, listen, there are two realities. There's divided government in Madison. Joe's 100% correct about that. And the other reality is Milwaukee's facing a fiscal cliff, right? So I don't think the councilors have a real option here. They're going to have to go with this, or they are consciously choosing for the city to go into bankruptcy, which is untenable. So will there be some saber rattling over the next several weeks? Probably so. But, I think it's entirely possible that the Republicans will send the governor this bill. They sent him the K-12 bill, which we'll talk about at some point today. Yesterday, which means he's got 6 days to sign it, or it goes into law without his signature. I can't imagine that's what's going to happen. I think they'll send him the shared revenue bill here in the next couple of days. And the budget should wrap up in joint finance next week. So those are two historic deals, grand bargains, if you will, that got done with Tony Evers and with Robin Voss and Devin Lemahue. And, you know, kudos to all of them. I still think they are in the best interest of the state, and there's wins to be had by both sides.
I've had both Governor Evers and Speaker Robin Voss on the show this week, and for the first time in a long time, I got a sense that even though this is a unique piece of all of the, you know, bipartisanship that maybe is catching fire to some degree in Madison, maybe this is the start of something. I just have a feeling that there's a not to use this word again, thawing or softening of hardened positions based on political realities in the state.
Listen, I'm trying to be positive today. I hope you're right. I also think there's a few indications this week that they used up all the goodwill getting that stuff done. And now it's time to fight about cuts to the UW and engineering building.
And we can talk about that
right,
if you want.
So, yeah. At the end of the day, this is politics. And that means you got to tend your base. Right. And sometimes that means if you have to make a compromise and give a few things up, it means in the next fight, you really have to go a little bit harder to make sure your base knows what your values are and what you're fighting for. That's the sort of give and take of our polarized politics. Bill knows that if you're not taking care of your base, you got nowhere to turn to in the future.
These two grand bargains are a little bit unique, though. There's an old saying in politics that nothing's done till everything's done. Well, these two things got pulled out of the budget. So they are on a separate track, and one is on its way to the governor's desk right now, the K-12 package, which includes a historic increase in funding for charter and choice schools. So does the governor, can he commit to those before he knows what's all in the budget? The big thing we've got coming next week is UW, obviously, but the tax cut. For Republicans, that's what their base is looking for, is what's in that tax cut. They got a huge win on the charter and choice funding. There's no question about that. So we'll see. That'll be the last thing. Finance was supposed to finish yesterday. That was the original timeline, be done by June 15th. It now looks like it'll be more like next Tuesday or Wednesday, maybe even Thursday. So an extra week. There's some disagreements between the two houses on some of the major funding items that are remaining. And, at the Republican convention in La Crosse this weekend, they're going to have to get in the room, maybe have a cocktail or two and figure it out.
I want to ask you about that's a separate conversation, because I want to ask you if this is a return to more normal discussion conversation versus the crazy stuff I've heard at some of these things in the past few years. But we'll leave that one for a second. On the issue of UW, it's $32 million in funding.
At least. So the Speaker Voss is saying at minimum a $32 million cut to the UW budget. Governor Evers responded by saying that's not tenable. I'll veto that. Speaker Voss responds to that by saying, well, maybe we'll cut a little bit more than that then if you want to play this game of chicken. It also sounds like maybe there's some distance between Voss and Lemahieu, the Senate and the Assembly. So there's some big issues left to sort out in this next week.
There are reasons to raise the temperature, right? You're trying to gain some leverage. And it, by and large, worked out on both the shared revenue deal and on the K-12 package. But the clock's ticking here. There's not a lot of time on the clock until the Finance Committee ends, by next Thursday at the very latest. So they're going to have to get these things worked out. So by the time we're sitting here next Friday, we will have a state budget. We'll pretty well know what's in it and what the governor may or may not do on some of the bigger items.
I spent some time this week talking about the surplus, roughly $7 billion. And what we should do with it. And a lot of people said refund, rebates, tax cut, permanent tax cut. And that clearly will be part of this.
Yeah.
Is there no place for a rebate, refund? We've done it before. Other states are doing it right now.
Yeah, we've done it a couple times. I think the last one might have been under my old boss, Tommy Thompson. And, the truth is it's not the smartest way to do it.
Why is that?
Well, you give everyone $100 or $125.
If that's what it is, yeah, probably not much of an impact.
It's not a big enough number. It's probably better from an economic development standpoint, from a state standpoint, to do long-term tax cuts. Those cost more money, you got to build those into the base.
But that's already baked in the cake. That's going to happen. I'm just saying, when you have $7 billion, you can look at it in a couple different ways. We're going to lower the tax rate in across the board, or do what we do with the state income tax, whatever that is. And then we could do some other things. And my cautionary tale, and you've talked about this before, when you do new things, new organizations, new systems, or you're adding things to the government, which could be part of this, maybe, maybe not,
right?
Those costs are always going to be there. It's not one time. You have the money now. You might not have it in 10 years, but you're still paying for that stuff.
Well,
that's the risk of those kinds of things.
Yeah, the amount we've added to every community in the state and what we've added to both K-12 and charter and choice are now in the base. And so those have to be funded forever.
Yes.
Unless they're cut.
That's a risk. That's why when you do things like that, everybody's jumping up and down. There's a long-term play here that I think people should think about.
Now who's being Eeyore? You don't think that these investments are going to grow the Wisconsin economy, grow our tax base?
I'm optimistic. I hope so.
Steve's talking it down.
Look, I talk to a lot of people.
You got to bring an Eeyore hat and move it around the table.
That's right. Like a dunce cap.
I am not wearing the Eeyore hat. All right, gentlemen. Joseph Pecky, Bill McCosh. We're just getting warmed up on this Friday. If you have a question for the two very smart gentlemen in this studio, the Avenue Studios, Annex Wealth Management Studios on Wisconsin Avenue in beautiful downtown Milwaukee, 855-616-1620 on WTMJ.
I was just a kid. I was always
little something for the dads. We're all dads in this
room.
We're
all dads.
It is kind of a fun weekend. My wife generally lets me do whatever I want, and I appreciate that.
That's nice. Are steaks in order on the grill?
out. Well, we're going out to dinner tonight, so I might have a steak, El Mito in Wauwatosa. So nice. Looking forward to that. Then, and what's your plans? What are you expecting this weekend?
Well, we've still got some family in town from last weekend's graduation.
How's that been going over at the
Fantastic. I am well rested and not stressed.
He knows he's on the radio.
Yeah, they're all listening. Ears tuned.
It's been wonderful. We extended my mother-in-law's stay so she can watch some AAU basketball tomorrow.
Very good.
You know, it's going to be a busy weekend, but hopefully my dad and I will get to go play golf Sunday afternoon.
Well, we'll have a cookout at some point, probably Saturday or Sunday, and I'm going to play some golf tomorrow with an old middle school buddy.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, who's in town from Minneapolis. This kid's playing in a hockey tournament down in Janesville. So
I can guarantee in mine there will be some drinking involved, there'll be cigars involved, and some really good food, and I'll see my kids and their kids, my grandkids. That's the best thing for me.
Yeah.
And any father out there knows what that feels like. I don't know where to start on the national side. I mean, obviously we have all the drama in Miami. Joe, you want to take a crack at what Miami tells us about now?
Well,
in the future?
Sure. I mean, I think there's, per usual in our politics, a lot of noise, not a lot of signal. We're seeing some rearranging of the deck chairs, I would say, on the Titanic amongst the Trump legal team. To Jim Trusty.
What just, legal team?
Yeah. Jim Trusty, one of former President Trump's attorneys, pulled himself off of a case today citing irreconcilable differences with his client. I thought that was reserved for family court and divorces, but I think the important thing is Judge Eileen Cannon is just sort of getting to work on this. She ordered the Trump attorneys that do exist to get the necessary background checks so they can see the evidence and get access to this classified information. So the wheels of justice are turning, and that to me is the most important thing. The rest of it is just noise. There is a legal process at play here. We're seeing some of the downstream implications. What that means is because this is a federal criminal case, the civil and state-based cases out of New York are almost certainly going to be put on the back burner.
That's something I learned this week. I was not aware of that.
Out of deference and sort of fairness to the Trump team so that he can mount his defense. He is, of course, innocent until proven guilty. So we've got a long ways to go. Try to drown out the noise. The process continues.
Yeah, I thought a lot about what you said last Friday, Steve, about the whataboutism. And I think it's fair, but I also don't think you can separate it from what's going on, because it is part of the chatter out there, at least on the right, as people say, you know, how is he treated differently than Hillary Clinton or Joe Biden or Hunter Biden? And there's some truth to that. And I don't know that we can ever fully get away from that. But I think the thing that is most important is who is saying what about this from the right. Donald Trump is a lot of things. He was not good at hiring. I think we can all agree on that. Even Trumpers probably would agree on that. But there are three people that were way better than average in his administration: Bill Barr, Mike Pompeo, Nikki Haley, who have all said these are serious allegations.
That word has been said a lot this week.
Right? So I understand the hardcore Trumpers who say those people are ungrateful and Trump fired them. The truth is he didn't fire any of them. And they were unbelievably loyal, and they were the three of the smartest people in his administration, and they're raising some significant red flags. They're not making a personal, which I think is smart on their part, but they're raising red flags. I think I believe in you're innocent until proven guilty. Let the process play itself out. But this one may not end as well as some of the others have for Donald Trump in the past.
I also think a thing that really clarified for me in this last week is that as the smarter legal minds tore this apart, what they sort of realized is if former President Trump had just given everything back when he was asked for it,
right,
all of this would have gone away. And they, in fact, they have did not bring charges against the documents that he did return. It was this, he was given multiple opportunities to respond to, you know, the National Archives and to comply with the Records Act, and his insistence, and in fact, his choice to disagree with his lawyers. His lawyers said, okay, they've asked for this stuff, we just got to give it back. And he said, well, no, what if we don't? And so it's his choices, and it's just the counts related to those documents he refused to return after he was told, you have these improperly, please give them back. And he still said, no, I'm not going to do that. That's what he's being charged for.
Yeah, and I think those are the most serious. I agree with Pompeo and Barr and Haley on that he doesn't have an explanation for that yet. What he said in Miami was, oh, there were clothes items in these boxes. There were personal items. He didn't address what actually is at the issue, the heart of the issue here. And in a courtroom, he's going to have to address that.
And the heart of the issue is what we know about these documents is among them were plans for nuclear attacks, simulated sort of attacks against America, or if America was going to attack an adversary,
the highest
how
level
we would
of classified documents.
That stuff is serious stuff. We're not talking about love letters with Kim Jong-un.
So do you put any stock into some of the reports that people, insiders in and around the Trump organization, whether it's a campaign side or whatever he's doing in Mar-a-Lago, suggest that he is sort of feeling the weight of this? In some cases, they felt like he was fearful.
I think it's really hard to tell, but we do see him when he's behind the mic at some of these rallies and stuff. I gotta say, he looked a little low energy. Like the words are the same, but it feels like there's something going on. Now, listen, he's an old guy. In 6 months, you can change a lot when you're 77, 78 years old, or maybe it's the weight of this, but I haven't seen the same kind of pep behind the mic from him.
So there's a disconnect between the polling and what's going on the ground.
Absolutely.
Right? So let me just use January 6th. There were thousands of people there at January 6th who were all worked up about what happened in the 2020 election. There's no question about thousands, okay? At the arraignment in Miami, there may have been a couple thousand, maybe. Some news outlets say it was in the hundreds, not the thousands.
Law enforcement in Miami said 500 to 2,000.
Yeah. So, the notion that, 20,000 people were going to show up and show support for him, it literally didn't happen. And I think the fatigue is setting in for guys like me who voted for him twice. I know you didn't, Steve, but I did vote for him. My wife was a contributor of his. It's exhausting, right? And I don't think Republicans, if you look in the mirror and say, can we do this for 16 months, right? When there are better options and we could play offense. Good campaigns are all about playing offense, not playing defense. And my fear is that if Donald Trump ends up being the nominee, we're playing defense the whole way.
The funniest take I heard on this was not a lot of people showed up because they had plans and they knew they could just make the next one.
Good spot to stop. Quick break here on WTMJ. All right, we're arguing between producer and host. Not you guys.
Guests and hosts.
No, you guys weren't arguing.
Stumping, Scafidi.
Right, yeah, hey.
Yeah, that was a brain fart, as they say. Brain cramp. All right, McCaution, Bill.
Yes.
Who is going to be the candidate for Senate for Republicans to go up against Tammy Baldwin? Who is it going to be?
We have Republican, an off-year convention starting tonight in La Crosse.
Are you going to be there?
I will not be there. I don't generally go to the off-year conventions. They're not as fun. They're not as packed. Sorry.
With his social calendar, I'm sure you
can't fit it in. Yeah.
And you're golfing.
And my golf game. It's Father's Day weekend. What are they thinking? So, yes. No, I won't be there. But I'll tell you who will be there. A gentleman by the name of Eric Hovde, who is a successful, highly successful businessman from Madison. Ran against Tommy Thompson in a primary in 2012, barely lost. Truthfully, we had to drop the hammer on him at the end. He was winning, and I'm telling you a little inside baseball.
Do you get mad when I say he looks like a soap opera actor?
I think that's a good thing.
It probably can't hurt.
You know, in the suburbs, that could work to his advantage.
Yeah. So you think he's going to be the guy?
I think he will be the guy. I think he's going to put a significant amount of money in. David Clark's name gets bantied about. I can't see that happening, truthfully. Tom Tiffany, would obviously do very well up north. I think he'd struggle in the suburbs. I like Tom a lot. I think he's going to continue to kick the tires for a while. But I think at the end of the day, Eric Hovde's in pole position here.
It's a bold pick.
I think, the Republican track record of out-of-state millionaires coming in.
Out-of-state.
Listen.
I've been to his home on Lake Mendota.
The one in California?
I've been to that one too.
Hey, okay, yeah. Having multiple homes is not a crime. There's plenty of Wisconsinites that have homes in other places.
I kid.
In fact, Tammy Baldwin has a new home in D.C.
Yes.
Told.
Very,
today, we learned
very,
where she's been serving for 11 years and is about to run for another six. That's just smart.
Was she rich before she went to Washington, D.C.? Just a question.
No.
No.
Is she rich now?
Well, you pricey pad in D.C. I can't afford that. Can you afford that?
I cannot. Okay. So the news here, of course, is Congressman Gallagher taking a pass on running. There is, like,
which I predicted.
Right. And I think I had two. Listen, Republicans know that Tammy Baldwin is a formidable opponent.
She is.
And, you know, look no further than an almost 11-point victory in her last run.
Yep.
That's the, you know, the Wisconsin equivalent of winning by like 30 points, right? We don't really have 10-point blowouts. I think Congressman Tom Tiffany seems to be the most serious about it. It is also clear to me that former Sheriff David Clark is kicking the tires, is sort of trying to raise his profile, and he is sort of carving out his space, which is, I will be a thorn in Mitch McConnell's side. The establishment Republicans don't want anything to do with me. That may give sort of the established Republicans the willies, but there is an appetite among Republican primary voters for that kind of anti-establishment take. And I would, if I was the Republican strategist in the room, I would be nervous about what appears to be shaping up. If you have a Clark run, if you have a Tiffany run, and you have a Hovde run, all of a sudden it's a race to the far, far right. And that just makes it even tougher in the end to beat somebody as formidable as Tammy Baldwin.
I'm a firm believer in primaries. I think they make campaigns stronger earlier until now. I'm now for smoke-filled rooms picking the candidate because Republicans are so bad at this from a statewide level.
Well,
we destroy each other. We make
back that up.
Jim Moody and Joe Chakota, for your older listeners, look like pikers for what we do to each other in primaries. It's insane. I think we ought to clear the field, give it to Eric Hovde, and let his $20 million put it all on red on the table.
Maybe Clark should run as a Democrat because that's how he did it in the past, right?
He did get elected multiple times as a Democrat.
Yes, he did. And if he wants to primary Tammy Baldwin, that's not going to go well for him.
Yeah.
So obviously a lot can happen between now and
we learn no lessons on our side. We keep destroying each other in statewide primaries.
Well, I mean, classic example is what we just talked about and the fact that Donald Trump is the leading candidate for the Republican nomination. I don't know what else to tell people. And you know, as I was telling you during the break, I'm looking at a ton of texts here. They don't believe any of the stuff that came out in the Miami arraignment. They don't.
High floor, low ceiling. That's the political reality for Donald Trump right now.
And, you know, it's a term that I used and you talked about before, whataboutism. That's what I'm getting in every response to anything that
which
we say.
Which is why I said you couldn't separate it. It's real. In Republican circles, it's real. People say this doesn't look right. The optics are not good.
What's Gallagher's future? What does he want to be?
Well,
he's a smart guy.
If someone other than Donald Trump were to win the nomination and win the White House, I think Mike Gallagher could easily be National Security Advisor. I think he could be Secretary of State. I think he could even be Secretary of Defense at a very young age. I mean, I don't know that he's 40 yet. I think he's 39, to be honest with you. Military background, incredibly smart. He's running this China committee, getting some good things done. I think he'll be a presidential candidate at some point in the future. I think his ceiling is extremely high, and this was a smart play for him to sit this one out. And, you know, especially with Trump in the mix, you know, why get bloodied up in all of that as a U.S. Senate candidate? Because if Trump is the nominee, it will impact the Senate race here without a doubt.
It wasn't on our list, but Ron DeSantis is doing a lot more interviews in the last week or two. Where do you think his campaign is at?
I think it's spinning its wheels. You know, he's clearly the second choice. I'm still kicking the tires on him. I haven't made any commitments to any candidates, but, you know, I don't think they've had a great couple of months. They can't quite figure out how to deal with Trump and his supporters. They've taken the hands-off approach. That hasn't worked. Chris Christie is clearly taking a hands-on approach and attacking. That probably won't work. You know, there's got to be something sort of in the middle, and I don't know that the DeSantis team has figured that out yet.
How's your guy doing? Biden going to make it through the primaries next year?
What primary? There's not going to be a primary.
No, RFK.
RFK?
Sounds like he's going to win the first two.
But those aren't going to be beauty contests. The DNC won't award delegates. There is no primary. There won't be debates. These are not serious
candidates.
Clearing
the field for Grandpa Joe.
Yeah, well, what did Bill just say? Primaries are messy.
All right.
Maybe they should take a page out of the Republican.
You guys have figured this out sooner than us. I mean, in the U.S. Senate primary last summer, you know, three other candidates got out.
After you.
Cleared the way for Mandela Barnes all in the same week. It was like magic.
Yeah.
All in the same week.
What do we have, 12 Republican nominees for the presidential?
I think we're up to 12 with the mayor of Miami.
Yeah. So are they going to clear the field for somebody else? Because otherwise we'll get the same situation as last time.
Sometime after Labor Day. The first debate is here in Milwaukee on the 23rd of August. The second one is at the Reagan Library in California. I think that's in September. I think that would be the latest where people say, you know, I've been at 1% for several months here. This needle isn't moving. It's time to get behind somebody else.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Trump's not going to be at that debate.
He's not coming to Milwaukee as of now.
Why would he debate ever?
True. Good point. Yeah, good point.
He hasn't committed to Simi Valley either.
Right.
All right, we got 20 minutes left. They're going to be action-packed. I guarantee that. Well, it's really up to you guys. Joe Sopecki, had to remember your last name there. Bill McCaution, my guest.
Rough day. How was golf last night?
Not good, Bill. Not good. Thanks for bringing that up. Quick break. All right, we got to do a quick one here. I got another break in before grab bag, which I'll be very curious of what you guys are going to talk about. I have an idea, but education, literacy. Where do we think the state's going to go and with this budget and in the near future?
$50 million in the state budget for literacy-related items. There's a separate bill working its way through the legislature that Joel Kitchens, Bob Witke, Dewey Strobel have been involved in, John Jagler, and it appears to have hit a snag on the issue of retention. Just so the listeners are familiar with this, 60% of Wisconsin students cannot read at the third grade level. 60%. For African-American kids, it's 80%. It is a five-alarm fire. I think it's the most important thing the legislature is working on this session. We have to get this right for the future of the state of Wisconsin. The governor yesterday said that he and DPI cannot support the retention policy. And what do I mean by that? If a kid can't read at the third grade level, by the end of third grade, according to the bill, they have to go to summer school to get caught up, okay? Or remain in third grade reading while they're in fourth
That's
grade.
That's the tricky part.
That's the tricky part. But the reality is we have been advancing kids for a generation that cannot read. We are failing these kids by allowing this to continue. And it's something that I'm hopeful can get worked out between the governor and the legislative leadership over the next week, because like I said, it's on the assembly floor on Wednesday. This is too important to not get done and to get done right.
And correct me if I'm wrong, the educational system in Wisconsin has decided not to use the option of holding back like they used to. I had friends that got held back. I have family members that got held back for various reasons. Doesn't mean they're bad kids or bad students. Just whatever happened, happened. And I think it actually benefited them. But there seems to be this mindset now that you cannot stigmatize a child by doing that.
There are different schools of thought. I agree with Bill that this is incredibly important. And my hope is that the conversations and the sort of disagreements can be like, let's turn the temperature down on it.
Right.
We all Absolutely. Want the same thing here, which is kids reading at grade level. Nobody that I've seen yet
for the future
is
of the
trying
state.
To play politics with this. Sometimes it's very easy to see these political backs and forth and say, like, oh, they're just playing politics or appealing to the base. This isn't that. These are well-intentioned differences of opinion on what the best path is forward. There is no question. We have got to do better by our kids. And what I think we know, and I think where the governor and DPI are coming from, is like, this isn't a challenge we can test our way out of. We need to support younger, earlier education, get kids reading yeah. sooner. And so I think there's a path here. And my plea to all parties involved is check the politics at the door. There's other issues where you can make it a political food fight. This ain't one of them.
I agree.
We got to have our kids reading
it's,
at grade
It's interesting.
Level.
I watched the hearing on Thursday night. I couldn't get in the room because it was packed. Tuesday night, excuse me, in the assembly at the State Affairs Committee. And it was remarkably adult-like.
That's great.
And it was not partisan Good. In any way, shape, or form. And there are some partisan members on both sides of the aisle on that committee. It wasn't partisan. It was adult-like. Yesterday, Senator Jagler had a similar hearing in the Senate. Same thing. Senator Larson was a little bit partisan, but overall, people came together and said, you know what? We got to get this yeah. right. We have to figure this out. And that's my hope over the next 2 weeks is they can get this right because it's too important not to.
See, that's that thawing I'm talking about. Ever the optimist. Joseph Pecky, Bill McCaution, we'll hear what's in their grab bag after this on WTMJ. All right, so I'm going to combine two things. Later on in the show, I'm not going to tell you when it is. I'm going to give away a four-pack of Summerfest tickets. The key word is Chapin. Chapin.
Begin and end the show with Harry Chapin.
Yeah,
I like
see,
that.
See what I'm doing?
Yeah.
Bookending.
Yeah.
Symmetry. So Chapin is the keyword. I'm only going to give it to you once. So I actually gave it a couple times. That's it. When I give you the cue to call. I'm coming to all these clever little radio terms. The cue to call on WTMJ on this Friday edition. Happy Friday, everybody. You'll have to tell me what that word is, and you will win a 4-pack of tickets if you get it right. If you don't, we just move on to the next caller.
You going to the fest?
I usually go about 2 or 3 times.
Bill?
I will. Yeah, we did last year.
Who are you seeing?
We like the sort of small stages with local bands.
Yeah, that's the best.
There's an old guy cover band out of Waukesha. I wish I could remember their name right now. That was so much darn fun. We will figure out when they play, and we'll be there.
Cool. I saw Cheap Trick and Rod Stewart. It was fantastic last year. Loved it.
Yeah. You got to be there.
If I'm a little bleary-eyed next week, Friday, it's because we had a really good time at Eric Church the night before.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Kicking it
very
off
nice.
Next Thursday night. Yeah, fun. My only thing is that
you and David Clark, you can wear your cowboy hat backwards.
All right, I'll save my stories. You got to get to the grab bag. Joel, you're up first.
A happy Father's Day to all of the fathers out there. I talk about my mom on the radio more often than my dad. I want to give a special shout-out to my father, Dave Zepecki. Many people know him because he is involved in everything. He worked for Milwaukee County for more than 20 years, was on the county board. He was the director of economic development for Milwaukee County and is so involved in the community, in social clubs and historical clubs and cultural associations. Polish Fest, last week, and it'll be German Fest in a couple of weeks. And I just want to thank my dad for everything he has done for me and for our family. Love you, Dad. Can't wait to see you and hopefully beat you in one of the rare instances when we go play golf. It rarely happens.
Nice.
My oldest son beat the snot out of me last week. Just horrible. So I have two. One is to a father who sadly will not be here, and that's Paris Prokopis. He is a...
Passed this week.
Had a heart attack. Turned out his heart was too big. And if you know Paris, that actually makes some sense. He was... unbelievably positive, infectious guy, always smiling, did everything.
Passionate about politics.
Passionate. Yeah, ran a blog called News Undone. You can still find it.
One of the early bloggers.
His writing was very, very good. And he didn't mind challenging the status quo or the establishment. And, he went too soon. He's got 3 kids, one still in high school, that are going to miss him. And I'm going to miss him. And I know there are a lot of conservatives out there, especially in Southeast Wisconsin, who feel the same way. So rest in peace, my friend Paris, until we meet again. And my last one will be to my son, Patrick, who did smoke me last Sunday in golf. Single dad, a young guy. I couldn't be more proud of him every day. I say my wife and I did something well. Tip my hat to my kid, Patrick.
I'll make it the trifecta of dadness. My dad, Dominic, longtime National Weather Service meteorologist, doesn't know crap about the weather now, to be honest. I know more than he does. But he had 4 boys, and we were pains in the – all we did was fights. And he had to deal with that every day and give us great advice. And my dad-isms are many because he do the right thing. It's easy. It's not that complicated. Just do the right thing. And he was a great example. And he continues to be a great example because he's a guy that was a strict dad, but is the most thoughtful person in the world to this day. And that's something that we all take away from our dad. So happy Father's Day, gentlemen, to both of you. We'll do it again next Friday. Political Power Hour, one of my favorite hours on the radio. And we do it all week here. This is one of my favorite times to be with you guys. So thanks.
I look forward to Friday.
Have a good weekend.
All right, everybody. We'll take a break for news on WTMJ.
Breaking down the biggest stories, talking about what really matters, and bringing you the biggest forum to let your voice be heard. Now, broadcasting live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue, here's Steve Scafidi.
And good morning, everybody. Welcome, 10 o'clock hour, Father's Day weekend. I was reading through the text after our political power hour with Bill McCosh and Joe Zepecki, and I got this from Kelly in Greenfield. My husband and I went to Cheap Trick and Rod Stewart last year as well, because I was talking about the great concert I saw at Summerfest. The last time I saw Rod Stewart was in high school with my dad years and years ago, and sadly my dad has passed away, so it was really nice to go back and see him again, and he still kicks butt. I totally agree. So rest in peace to my dad. This is from Kelly. Mark Kuglich. I'll play Rod Stewart on Sunday. And I thought maybe we'd spend a little time thinking about that. Whenever we have any conversation on this show or any of the shows that talk about the events of the day, trends and hot topics and all of that, hot takes, smart takes, we have to put that in the context of how we relate to each other, and certainly the relationship between fathers and their kids is an important one. And I mentioned my dad, Dominic, National Weather Service meteorologist, still doing great, Cudahy, and still walking every day with my mom, which is good. Keeps him healthy at the age of 87. So I thought we'd maybe entertain some calls and texts from all of you, remembering your dad. It could be fun. It can be epic fails. I'll give you my epic fail in a moment as a dad. Anything you really want to take us to for the next few minutes here. So my epic fail was, and I think we've all done this, right? You go to your kids' events at their school. In this case, it was my youngest daughter, Chrissy, who's now, I think, 36. That sound about right? Somewhere around there. And I don't know the official name for it. Schools have, they have these boards and they make a display, and then you go and you like look at all the kids' displays. And I don't even remember. I think kid picked a state, and Chrissy will correct me if I'm wrong, because she usually listens on Friday. And I went there and she says I look like I just woke up, which is probably not true because I'm an early riser, but now picture this. This is like she was born in 88. So this is in the 90s. I'm wearing Packers Zubas. You know, those look like leopard pants, only in the Packer colors. And what I didn't know at the time was there was a massive rip down the backside of those suckers. So I'm walking around, la-di-da, looking at all the other kids, you know, state portfolios, whatever those things are called. And then she goes, Dad, you got a big rip in the old Zubas. So that was my epic fails at that. I've kind of gotten over it. And I was wearing underwear, in case you were curious. Thank goodness, Carol Kane, that I was wearing underwear on that day. From the 715, happy Father's Day to my dad, World War II veteran. He turned 101 in April of this year. Not just an amazing story, but thanks for your service as well. That is awesome. One of the things that I think we forget about, and let's be honest, dads have been getting beat up for a while now, right? And I'm not saying let me be brutally honest. Moms do the heavy lifting. They're the organizers. They're the doers. They don't, you know, they don't suffer excuses. They get things done. They do a lot, maybe less so than in the past, maybe not. They do a lot of the shuffling around, moving kids around, getting into their appointments, keeping track of things. Guys suck at most of that. Not all guys, but most of them. But dads and men, some for good reason, some for not, have been getting beat up over the last, 20 years or so. And again, some because they should, and some because I just think unfair. And, you know, I have to think, even on this Father's Day weekend, which celebrates dads, that I think we could probably go a little bit farther in our appreciation of men. And hear me out. Look, I just laid out the fact that I think women, I always say on the show, women are smarter than men. And that's true. I don't even think it's a debate anymore. Not all women, but most women are smarter than most men. That's a safe assumption that I make. They're certainly better organized. They put up with stuff that men would have no patience for, no ability to cope with, trust me. So I think you have to be aware that as we go forward as a country, as a culture, as a society, as a world, understanding our roles and relationships, not trying to dumb down or kind of scrub away all the traditional roles. Doesn't mean you have to have a dad. Doesn't mean you have to have a mom. I'm not saying that. But in the best situation, I think you benefit from both, if I'm brutally honest. 855-616-161, the old National Bank talking text line. Happy Heavenly Father's Day to my dad, a Korean War veteran and a Milwaukee firefighter who passed away too soon at the age of 49 of cancer. Yeah, I consider myself lucky because my parents are doing well and at an advanced age. You should never take that for granted. And, you know, I think about whenever there's a day like this, Mother's Day, Father's Day, almost any holiday, I think about the faces and the family members and the neighbors and friends that I have been in my life and probably in your life that you miss. But you still remember those moments, those funny things, sometimes serious things that they interacted with you on those days. And it just, that's the cool thing about these holidays. So happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. For the 920, I'm the 13th child. My dad was a farmer and taught me hard work and faith. He passed away when I was 27. Wish I had more time with him. Yeah, that is far too young. And I've told the story. I had a Korean War vet David Pavlik on the show, and I brought back the interview a bunch of times, and he was serving in Korea, frozen chosen, one of those veterans. And he got news via a message that his father had passed away. I think it was in his 40s, early 40s. Again, one of those strong guys, right? And flew back, dealt with all of that, and then went back to serve. I mean, you think about that commitment. What are your Father's Day memories? Could be an epic fail. Could be a fun one. Could be a serious one. It could be just an honoring your father, late father, whatever it is, 855-616-1620. Celebrating Father's Day on this Friday right here on WTMJ. Don't forget, last chance to win Summerfest tickets. Not now, though. 11 o'clock hour. And I'm not going to tell you when. I gave you twice in rapid succession the keyword which you need to win those tickets. So if you don't know it, we'll just go right down the line. So we're going to open up the phone lines when we do that in the 11 o'clock hour. Hopefully you were listening at the end of the 9 o'clock hour. No cheating. My show poll is up today on the Twitter, or the Twits, as I'd like to call it. And it's on 620 WTMJ or at WTMJ Steve. And on this Father's Day weekend, what's the best thing about your dad? That's what I asked, and I gave you a few choices. Great role model, 31%. Always there for me, 45%, which is the leader on the course. His sense of humor, 13%. And some comments, which we'll probably get to at some point here. From the 773, thanks for the long distance listen. My father died at 54, father of 13. Best thing I got from him, a sense of humor. I think you would need a sense of humor with 13 kids. That would be a prerequisite. Jeff from Fox Point. I plan to honor my father, Richard, who passed away in 2015 from Agent Orange-associated illnesses by working out with some of the exercises he showed me how to do when I was a kid, watching movies he and I enjoyed together in the past, and cooking something for dinner he really liked. That's a nice way to celebrate your dad. I love that. 414. Yes, happy Father's Day to my father, who also served in Korea, and the one thing he taught me is, I owe you nothing now. Go to work. Work ethic. We need more of that. Trust me. Let's see. Mike, my father and I had a great relationship, sometimes very competitive. I came from a family of 10 kids. I was the only one that would hunt, deer hunt, and everything else. So we bonded that way a lot. And my father passed away in 2007, and I miss him dearly. And I've only gone deer hunting twice since then, but that was something I always cherished doing with my father. And I've been hunting with my dad since I was in my teens. So I also have that bond. If you have a story you'd like to share, 855-616-1620. Whenever you talk about Father's Day or Mother's Day, for that matter, like a lot of holidays, it's sort of turned into gift giving, picnics, barbecues. I'm not saying that stuff's not important, but I loved what Eric did this morning when he was playing some audio from his kids, and you know, his wife Angie was asking about, well, like, what do you want to give your dad for Father's Day, and a lot of them said, and she's got three kids, I think the oldest is 16, just not arguing. That's a great gift. And my kids always ask, what do you want? Like, I don't need anything. So for me, I don't, you know, having a wrapped gift is not a thing that I really need. If you've been around for a while, you got pretty much everything you need, hopefully. And it's just seeing your kids. And we're lucky. Our kids are close by, and I can see my grandkids almost whenever I want. And that's a good thing. So my only suggestion is less on the presents, maybe even less on the barbecue, which I love barbecue, so don't get me wrong. And just more on the conversation and the presence. And the, not the P-R-E-S-E-N-T, but the P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E, of being there for each other. Father to son, father to daughter, and vice versa. I think that's more important. Michelle from Appleton. Happy Father's Day to my dad in heaven. He'll be gone 19 years this July. One of my favorite things to do with my daddy was gardening. When the wheelbarrow was empty, I'd always get a ride. I was lucky enough to get that wheelbarrow when he passed. Last year, I found out I couldn't get the wheel fixed anymore. Last weekend, I made it into a flower planter in his honor. I think he'd love it. And she sent me a picture, and it looks fantastic. She put some, what looks like petunias in it. That's cool. I saw this very thing. Where was I at? You know, we're talking about mulch yesterday. And by the way, I posted a fake picture of Bill Stead's pile of mulch, and surprise, surprise, that mulch is gone today after having been there for 3 weeks. So don't say a little pressure, a little nudge can't work. But where was I driving around yesterday? And there was a mom giving her daughter a ride in the wheelbarrow. I thought, that is so cool. And kudos to the mom for getting out there and getting that done. And as I often remind people, one of my requirements is, and this is tongue-in-cheek, so don't send me texts. When you get a pile of mulch, the requirement is the longest that can take is a weekend. That's it. Otherwise, I'll come after you. Just kidding. Jackie calls us. Hey, Jackie, welcome to the show.
Hi.
How are you?
I have a memory of my stepfather.
Sure.
Oh.
Go ahead.
He taught me how to fish and clean fish. He was such a wonderful man. My father died when I was very young, and my mother remarried when I was 18, and he was the best stepfather for the next 27 years I ever had.
Yeah, and you still fish?
And I honor his memory by going fishing and cleaning them.
Yeah, I love that.
And thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome, Jackie. And we had a little connection problem there, but I love the fact you're sharing that story. And here's a little inside my house. So my wife, Kathy, has a picture of her and her dad, and her dad's teaching her how to fish. And I think Kathy was like, I don't know, 4 or 3, something like that. It's black and white, and it's framed on our wall in our living room. I love that picture. Because we all have those kinds of stories, and we've all shared those stories. Sandy joins us from one of my favorite places in the state of Wisconsin, Stevens Point. Hi, Sandy.
Hi, Steve. How you doing?
I am good on this Friday. What's your story?
Great. My story is my dad's been gone for 14 years now, and he was a great dad. And growing up, whenever we would ask him if we could have something, he would say, when I get back from Detroit, meaning he was never going to Detroit, and meaning we'd never get what we asked for.
Right. That's good.
And then he would shorten it through the years. He would shorten it up and say, yeah, when I get back. And so we always hoped that he would have to travel to Detroit under no decision of his own, and we'd get everything we wanted. It was great.
I love, you talk about being witty and funny. That's the best thing about dads, right? They can be serious, and they can be the disciplinarian in some cases, but we remember the funny stories or the goofy things that dads did or the faces they made, and thanks for taking the time to call us, Sandy. I love that. We'll take a break here. Still time to get in. If you have a Father's Day story, epic fail, humorous story like Sandy's, I'm going to Detroit. I've been to Detroit. I'm not going to Detroit. I'm just kidding. I like Detroit. All right, we'll take a break here. Father's Day coming up at 10:35, virtual baseball sponsored by Siding Unlimited. Always fun. Well, somebody will win a chance. Well, they'll win a WTMJ prize package, but a chance to be entered into a drawing for a $500 gift card from Siding Unlimited. How cool is that? So, Father's Day weekend, we're talking about on WTMJ. Entertaining your stories and thoughts about Father's Day. Lisa joins us from Mequon. Hi, Lisa.
Hey, Steve. Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy Father's Day to you.
Thank you. Thank you.
And can you hear me over my radio?
I can, yes.
Okay.
Perfectly.
All right, great. Quick, I'll try to make this story quick. See, 1977, just bought a new house, Hales Corners. 5 children. My parents bought a big pool for the yard, and my father and brother were putting a big cedar fence around the pool, but had yet to build the deck. So the instructions were, use the ladder, do not climb over the pool. But friends were over, and someone did, and they kicked a small hole where the filter was, thus creating a tear in the liner.
Mm.
And while we're swimming at the bottom of the pool, we've all were sucked out by this massive hole, and the entire pool tsunami and went into my parents' giant organic garden, of which you can appreciate.
Oh, yes.
And a kid was riding by on a banana seat bike and was wiped out. And I looked over at my father, whose mouth was agape, and he had a hammer in his hand as he was building the fence, and threw that hammer down and walked into the house. I didn't know what he was going to do. It was just nothing but work. And he had just set up the pool and filled it. And my mother was at the grocery store, came back to seeing no pool. And the entire thing was already, folded up and malleted down,
that
and
is
it
the
was
worst.
In the trash.
That was the worst.
I know. And my father was so restrained. So
God bless the man that could have lost his mind.
I've got to ask you this. God bless him. I got to ask you this question because we got to get to break. But did you end up putting a new pool in?
Of course. A new pool was up within a week.
Wow, yeah, that's quick.
Thanks. That's a good part of the story.
I love the happy ending to the story.
Five kids.
Yes,
thank
smart.
Thank you, Steve. Have a beautiful weekend.
Yeah, thank you, Lisa. Lisa calling from Mac. Yeah. A week later. So that's a committed daddy. He dealt with it. He didn't overreact. He didn't scream and yell. And I've seen near misses on pools, like people do. I used to, you know, build decks around pools specifically, and I've seen some near misses with like nail guns and shovels and the like. It can happen, but boy, getting sucked out of a pool after it's all filled and you're already swimming in it, that's a big one. All right, I need two callers. Two callers for virtual baseball, sponsored by Siding Unlimited. 855-616-1620 is the number. 855-616-1620. Two callers with the potential to be entered in the drawing for a $500 gift card.
The grass is cut. The hot dogs are hot. And the beer is ice cold.
Right in deep. Oh, baby, get up!
It's time for virtual baseball on the Steve Scafidi Show. Brought to you by Siding Unlimited.
All right, let's play some ball on this Father's Day weekend. We're going to warm up the phone lines with Mike from Waukesha, Scott from Menominee Falls. Let's meet Mike first. Welcome, Mike.
Yes.
Are you a father?
Yes, I am.
All right, happy Father's Day weekend to you. In 30 seconds or less, tell us all about Mike from Waukesha. What do we need to know?
Mike is a truck driver, loves fishing, hunting, camping, and going up north.
Love that. That's a classic Wisconsin answer. Let me ask you this question because you said you were a truck driver. Are Wisconsin drivers getting worse or better at navigating our freeways?
I think the cars are getting worse.
Completely agree. How about the truckers? They're doing it right?
Not all of them.
I love the honesty, Mike. All right, let's meet your opponents on this Virtual Baseball Friday. Scott from Menominee Falls. Hi, Scott.
Good morning.
All right, you sound like a very confident guy on this Friday playing Virtual Baseball thanks to Siding Unlimited. Let us know, what can you tell us? Are you a father, Scott?
Yes, I am. Father of two, work for the Department of Public Works in Brown Deer. Enjoy my life. Everything is good.
This is perfect. We have two hardworking guys doing real work, truck driving, DPW work. I love to hear that. All right, gentlemen, my illustrious producer and big-time sports guy, Brandon Snye, will lay out the ground rules. We're all assembling at home plates as the crowd cheers. Well, they're getting their bratwurst and drinking their beer, but picture that. American Family Field. We are going to be read the ground rules, and then we're going to play some virtual baseball.
All right, gentlemen, happy Father's Day to each of you. There are two players, as we just heard. Today we have Mike, who's driving in Waukesha as our home team, and Scott in Menominee Falls as our visiting team. Each of them will get a separate set of 10 highlights. Each set will include an equal number of hits and an equal number of outs. They are numbered 1 through 10. You each get 5 selections. After those 5 selections, we only record the hit in the highlight, not the runs scored in the highlight. After those 5 swings, the number of runs tallied becomes your final score if there is a tie, which seems to be a trend. The home team, in this case, this will be Mike, will try to walk it off. And that is your ground rules for virtual baseball.
Thank you, Brandon Snide. All right, since Scott is the away team, he will be first at bat. You heard that. There's 10 clips here, 10 highlights. You got to pick 5. What's your first choice? Scott from Menominee Falls.
First choice is number 8.
Number 8, we have Rowdy Tellez.
Now we are ready again. 2-2. Swinging a fly ball into right center. Playable.
Oh, almost. He teased us.
Almost.
Man, he teased us on that one. All right, that's off to the slow start, as they say. The proverbial
slow start.
Got
the out of the way.
Yeah, you got the out of the way. Scott, what's your second choice?
Next choice will be number 3.
Number 3, we have Andrew Monasterio.
1-2 to Monasterio. Strike 3 called.
Ouch!
0-2 start
slider
here.
Just off the outside corner, and Jeff Nelson
All right, Scott. So, Scott, I don't think anyone has ever been held scoreless that I remember.
No.
So don't be the first one.
I'm not doing first here.
So you got three at-bats left. Let's get some runs across the plate. What's your third pick?
Number one.
Number one, we have Bryce Terrain.
Comes right back with the 1-0 pitch, and it's a ground ball. Fair ball up the first baseline. Going to roll all the way into the corner. This is extra bases for Terrain. He's at second. He's streaking around and headed for third. Here's the throw. It's cut off.
All right.
Bryce Terrain,
so all-important base runner. So you have two at-bats left, a runner on third. You've got nobody across the plate yet. Got to get some runs on the board. Scott, what's your fourth pick?
10.
Number 10, we have Christian Yelich.
And the 3-1. Yelich, a line drive down the left field line. It's going to carry out there, and a jumping catch made by Happ.
Oh, my goodness.
One of the best
Scott.
We almost had a home run. Now you got a jumping catch to rob you of extra bases.
All right, so we're not going to count you out because you do get five at-bats. So you can still get that run across. But what's your fifth and final choice?
We'll go with number – did I say seven already?
No.
Number seven, we have Christian Yelich.
De Leon brings it home. Swing and a fly ball deep to left field. Gallo back. Track. Wall. See you
got
later.
Got him. Finally.
Scott saved himself there.
Hit it out to the opposite
All right.
Field.
So you salvaged something out of that messy inning with two runs across the plate thanks to Christian Yelich and that home run. So, all right. Good job, Scott. You had a rough start there, but you overcame it.
You found it.
So, Mike. Hard-working truck-driving Mike on this Father's Day weekend. Same thing, five choices, 10 highlights. What's your first pick?
Let's go with one.
Number one, we have Brian Anderson.
Hit to center. Back Ruiz.
Uh-oh.
Still back at the track. Caught it up against the wall.
A lot of teases today.
Yelich back to first.
All right. You still got four at-bats. Let's see what you can do. You got to get two at least. Three, you walk them off. What's your second choice?
Number five.
Number five, Luis Urias.
2-1 pitch. This is a high drive out to left. Back at the track. Gone.
All right.
The Brewers go back to back here on the
two. Mike gets on the board. 2-1. Scott is still up. Mike has three at-bats left. A lot of hits out there. Some outs as well. Third choice, Mike.
Number two.
Number two, we have Blake Perkins.
And the pitch. Soft little line drive. Base hit in the right center. And bobbled, and a run's going to score. And on to third.
Got a single there.
All important base runners. So you got one man on. Two at-bats left. You're trailing 2-1. What you got next?
Number four.
Number four, John Singleton.
One ball and no strikes. Singleton bounces one into left field, a base hit. Here comes Contreras. He's going to score.
All right. All right. Getting him rolling now.
We have two runners on, first and second base. You have one final at-bat left. There's some outs left. There's also some big hits left.
There are some outs left. There are some big hits.
There's triples. There's a home run.
There's a lot.
All right, Mike. This is it. You're trailing 2-1.
We're going to go number three for three kids.
All right.
Number three is, you ready for this? Rowdy Tellez.
First offering to Tellez. Swung on and lifted into right center field. This is headed for the gap. Kiermaier lays out. It's off.
Oh, this could be good.
Roll all the way on the warning track over towards right field. Tellez is around second. He's chugging for three.
Uh-oh.
It's a triple.
He's in it. He scores two runs on the Rowdy triple. Imagine if you had a fast guy. He might have had an inside the park homer. All right. That means that Mike beat Scott 3-2. That's some exciting baseball. Thank you, Scott.
You're welcome.
All right. Have a great Father's Day weekend. Mike, a come from behind. I love it. Great, great efforts. How you feeling right now, Mike?
Wonderful. The Brewers need a win.
Yes, they do. Well said. All right, so you not only won a WTMJ prize package, you never know what's in that thing, but you're now entered in one of the June drawings for a $500 gift card thanks to the great folks at Siding Unlimited. Take us to break, Brandon Snide.
And the wave making its way by us again. Right in front. Excuse me a second. Kenny. Two balls.
was two strikes. You hit your head on the ceiling, you. I got up too quick. The spring in this chair has got to be readjusted.
Exciting edition of Virtual Baseball. Do it every Friday, 10:35. Thanks to the great folks at Siding Unlimited. I always wonder what's in that WTNJ prize package because they never tell me. I've heard shirts, mugs, various tchotchkes. You know what tchotchke means? Sort of like corporate logo stuff, you know, that kind of. So I think it's a Polish. Is that a Polish term? I think it is. Tchotchke.
You're not an autographed picture of you or?
Here's a funny story about that. So twice, maybe three times in my radio career, someone has specifically asked for that. So we created them for that ask. So we took a picture. It's one of the standard pictures they use here at WTMJ of me. Actually, I think this is an old one. It's like 6 years old. My hair was still dark.
Is that with you and Bill Stead?
Yeah, yeah. And I sign it and usually send a note. Three times it's been asked for. So I doubt if it's still in the mix.
Probably not. It's high demand. They probably sold out.
Yeah, I mean, a rare thing.
It is.
I'll look for them on eBay. I've been asking for your favorite Father's Day memories and stories, and this is an interesting one from the 414. Steve, I'm one of 12 children, and the high school we go to always has their graduation on Father's Day. That's wild. I didn't know that was a thing. God bless my dad, who spent 12 Father's Days in a high school gymnasium, which, if you've ever been to one of those things, especially in the older days, hotter than Hades, sweat fest. The kids were wearing swimsuits underneath their graduation gowns, and the parents were sweating it out with their dress clothing on. From the 414, happy Father's Day, Steve. Thank you for that. I appreciate that. John from Burlington, my dad passed in 2013. Miss him greatly. Taught all four of us hard work gets you ahead. My two brothers and I watched and learned so much that we rarely need to call service professionals. That's another big thing. Dads and moms, teach your kids stuff. A lot of us have apprehensions about doing things, especially when you're talking about like plumbing and electrical and all, you know, and you got to be safe, obviously. Don't overestimate your ability to do things. But there are a lot of simple things you can do yourselves if you are willing to invest the time to learn how to do it. And that's the one amazing thing about technology. There's not a thing that you can't look up on YouTube. Even if you buy something, you have to assemble it. I guarantee there's a video that someone made of them assembling that very same item. And I've done this like three or four times in the last year. Super helpful. You see their foibles and their mistakes, and sometimes they show them to you, and you learn from it. So never be afraid to teach your kids. Let's see. A lot of happy Father's Day. I appreciate all of those. From the 414, my dad had the best hugs. When he hugged me, I felt the love he had for me. No one ever hugged me like he could. That makes me sad. Man, that's a good one. Well done, you, 414. That's a good one. If you have some more, we'll take a break here. 855-616-1620. Love the Father's Day stories. Remembering dads, remembering all those fun things. And if you have a funny one, that's even better. I told you my one about wearing the ripped pants at a school event. Not my best day ever. Thankfully, it was kind of before the era where everyone had smartphones, because I'm sure someone would have captured that, and that would be embarrassing. So, and we've all been embarrassed. It's okay to be embarrassed. Learn from it. And I did. I always check my pants before I put them on. Quick break. From the 920, my dad always told me I could do anything I could set my mind to. If I ever said I was afraid to do something, he would say, of course you can. Just go. It's wonderful to hear those words in my head whenever I need them. That's a great, great advice, right? Do the right thing. Of course you can do that thing. I don't know if we do that enough of that now. I think, and again, a gross overgeneralization. We want to do everything for our kids. And we often forget that, you know, making a mistake or trying something a few times before you succeed, like riding a bike, right? No one's getting on a bike and just taking off. You're going to fall a few times. And we've forgotten that trial and error, learning as you go method. And I think it hurts kids' development and necessarily doesn't get them ready for that next stage of life when you're a young adult, when you have to start making these decisions, not with a parent standing over you, but on your own. I think that's important advice. A question, kind of deviating from our topic a little bit, but it's an important one. Whatever happened to the Scafidi and Bilstead picture that was hanging in the old Radio City city halls. I know what happened to it. We gave it away to a listener. I don't remember what was it. That's what Steve said. I don't remember what the maybe it was a separate competition. But I know the person that has it, and it was signed by both of us, and it now hangs in a real estate office. So it's out there somewhere.
And also I had a caller come in, call in Jim from Janesville to correct you, Steve.
What mistake did I make? Which is not the first time.
It's not. Was it tchotchke? Is that what you said?
Tchotchke.
He said it's Yiddish for knickknack.
Is it Yiddish? I didn't say I was sure. I thought it was Polish. Yiddish.
I had to make sure he got that. He called in nicely. And
so Yiddish for?
Knickknack.
Tchotchke knickknack. Tchotchke knickknack. See, I've learned something today. Now, just to give you a heads up, in the 11 o'clock hour, we're going to give away Summerfest tickets. Now, a little trickier today because I wasn't as demonstrative in my announcing of the keyword. And if I have to, I'll give clues, but I don't want to. So I mentioned at the end of the 9 o'clock hour, twice in rapid succession, you have to know the keyword to win the Summerfest tickets. So sometime after If Steve Ruled the World, we're going to give away the final four-pack of tickets to Summerfest, which starts next Thursday on our fantastic Great Lakefront, on our fantastic Great Lake, in our fantastic great state like Wisconsin. See what I did there? Let's see. Steve, you are aware I'm a baseball field renovator. One of my sites is Notre Dame Academy, who hosts Brewers youth camps annually many years, starting the very day after Father's Day. Many times I had to prep that field alone on Father's Day, but the best one ever was when my wife and daughter showed up for the entire day to help me with that challenging work. Best Father's Day ever for me, Notre Dame in Green Bay. That's what I was talking about. You don't need a present. The present is the presents. P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E. That's the gift. It's like seeing your kids, seeing your dad, seeing your mom. That's the cool stuff. Let's see. That one has nothing to do with what we're going to talk about. How about this one? Unsolicited. You are amazing, Steve. How about that?
That was you, right?
No, I'm checking the number. Do I know that number? 262. I don't know that. Thank you for the compliment. I appreciate that. One more sort of a sad one, but maybe not. My dad passed unexpectedly at 66 on the 18th hole while golfing. Wow. We all miss him as he was the best man, a friend to marry. The good Lord took him in style. Father's Day is always hard for me, but I thank God for a wonderful dad. Thanks for sharing that story. And that is hard and unexpected. And we've all heard stories like that, but your dad died doing what he loved. Golf is an amazing sport, and he was enjoying himself on the last hole. So thanks to all the folks for those. We'll try to weave a few more in before the end of the program, which is noon, before Jeff Wagner takes it over. Coming up after the break, a special, speaking of Summerfest, not yet, don't call yet, If Steve Ruled the World, a special edition, Summerfest edition, that's all coming up next after the news on WTMJ.
Breaking down the biggest stories, talking about what really matters, and bringing you the biggest forum to let your voice be heard. Now, broadcasting live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue, here's Steve Scafidi.
All right, a lot to get to in this 11 o'clock hour. Don't forget, we're going to have a Summerfest ticket giveaway. If you know the keyword, we'll do that at a later point in this hour, maybe even this half hour. We'll see how I feel about it. Keyword that I delivered to you in rapid succession twice in the 9 o'clock hour. Hopefully you were listening. Also, a week in review sponsored by Outdoor Living Unlimited coming up, a weekly recap of the voices and events that you heard right here on WTMJ. And I thought long and hard because producer Brandon Snide was telling me, why don't you do Father's Day for the If Steve Ruled the World? Well, I've been talking a lot about Father's Day. We talked about it with Eric earlier as I was filling in for, I don't even know who I'm filling in for because Vince wasn't there, and he was filling in for it. So I was filling in for Eric, even though Eric was there. It's kind of a weird concept, isn't it? But that's the reality. You know, there'd probably be a little extra in my pay envelope this week for the extra hour of the contribution to the program. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wouldn't count on that. And I'm not asking for that. So I thought, okay, so what else is going on? We got the Brewers. Frankly, they're a buzzkill right now. Not going to lie. I was at the game last week. They got up three runs right out of the gate, and then, boom, lost 6-3. So I said, let's leave that alone. So this week, we're going to do something different. And I only do it once a year because it's that time of year. Summerfest. So let's kick it off, producer Brandon.
Ruled the world.
All right. We've all been through a lot over the last few years. Pandemic, of course, politics, Brad Pitt. I just threw that in because I needed a P word. I don't have nothing to do with Brad Pitt. Well, he's been very successful in his career. Since this is a special Summerfest edition of If Steve Ruled the World, I'm going to ignore all the political BS and how dumb our elected officials are, their obvious ignorance of what voters really want, instead focus on a celebration of Summerfest, which is finally, well, not finally, but back where it belongs. We can argue about the weekend thing. I'm not good. This is a positive bit right here. Did you all know it started in 1968 and was somewhat inspired by then Mayor Henry Meyer's visit to Oktoberfest in Munich, Germany? How cool is that? It was originally held at 35 different locations across the city before settling at what is now Henry Meyer Festival Park, perfectly named. Over the years, it's seen performances by Paul McCartney, the Rolling Stones, Stevie Wonder, Aerosmith, and just about anybody else that matters in the world of music. Thank you, Bob Babish and Don Smiley. Known as the world's largest music festival, I would say it's the greatest music festival, and it surely lives up to that name. It's also a place on a hot day where attendees would be wearing everything from cutoff jean shorts, Daisy Dukes, tube tops, old Van Halen concert t-shirts, goth cosplay, and just about every other fashion style popular since the 1960s, and that's just one day at Summerfest. I'm not going to go as far as saying most of the patrons dress to get attention, but I guess the best way to describe it for the rest of us is a what-not-to-wear runway fashion show where the runway is miles of pavement along the Lake Michigan shoreline.
You can't handle the truth!
If Steve ruled the world!
Thank you, Jack. One of the best things about having Summerfest in the actual summer is that the weather actually cooperates. This year, so far, so good. We're in the 70s, 80s sometimes. And by the end of a very long day romping around the grounds of Summerfest, you'll kind of look like you just took a shower, really. Sticky, you know what I'm talking about. Now, most of what passes for summer around these parts is typically conversations about which festivals you've been to and how much beer you drank last night. I'm a fan of both, trust me. But there's really more to summer than that. You want to really enjoy a summer and Summerfest? Try a wine cooler. How about shaking off the shackles of your addiction to Miller Lite or Busch Beer, whatever it is, Bud Light, and trying an import or a local craft brewery? Stretch those alcohol wings a bit. Nothing says I'm afraid of change more than drinking the same beer every day, every year, for the rest of your life. That's why we have so much division in this country. Inflexibility, resistance to change. And let's be honest, good old Squawk Radio brainwashing. But since I'm here to talk you off that political ledge, I'll give you my straight, unbiased, smart take on alcohol consumption. Quality matters. Less can be more. If it's 90 degrees and you're sitting outside in direct sunlight all day, I would add some good old H2O to the mix. Nothing says I can't handle my alcohol like passing out from dehydration. Don't be that guy.
That was my skull. I'm so wasted.
If Steve ruled the world.
That's weed, but we get it. Thank you, Spicoli. I don't know if you're like me, and chances are you're probably not, but I'm ready for Summerfest this year. Think of it as a reward for good behavior. Unlike most of your friends who don't listen to my show, you don't overreact to things. You don't post crazy things on the internet. You don't pretend that the vaccine was worse than the virus. You went about your day, did your job, kept moving forward. Summerfest is your reward for that common sense approach. That's why you don't see the political crazies down at Summerfest. We all know they only come to Milwaukee to see the Brewers play, and if you ask them what the college travel was, you'd get a bewildered look with this song playing in the background.
If Steve ruled the world.
Damn love that song. This is one of those rules that probably shouldn't need to be said, but sometimes a little reinforcement is a good thing. Flip-flops are not an appropriate footwear for Summerfest. I said it. Flip-flops are not an appropriate footwear for Summerfest. Hell, the only place anybody should be wearing flip-flops is in their yard or on the beach. Nothing says I don't really walk much more than a conscious decision to wear flip-flops to a summer festival, which will require literally miles of walking in often high temperatures. While I'm on the subject, they're not appropriate for work either, unless you work on a beach. And if I want to see that much bad foot hygiene, I'll get a job at a nail salon.
Are we clear?
Yes, sir.
Are we clear?
If Steve ruled the world.
All right, now, one of the big factors at play this year with Summerfest and really any event is inflation, right? All the talk about recession, gas costs, thanks Joe Biden, and even the price of booze is being impacted. Some out-of-state visitors may say it's too expensive to drive to Wisconsin to go to Summerfest. I say that's crazy. Let's say your trip costs you, what, $20 more for gas? Summerfest has multiple stages, incredible artists playing mostly for free. Now, math has never been my strong suit, but I'm guessing seeing and hearing the likes of a Rick Springfield, Todd Rundgren, KC and the Sunshine Band, or the Commodores for absolutely zero cost. I have no idea if any of those folks are actually playing at Summerfest, by the way. Other than the price of getting to Summerfest pretty much offsets the expense of gas fill-up. Did you notice I picked artists that were all over 50 years old? Well, you could say that I'm out of touch, but you would be wrong. You could say that I understand modern music, but you would also be wrong. You could say that the new music is less about music and more about woke culture and appealing to a younger generation, which doesn't understand the nuance and significance of musical talent versus commercialization and marketing. That's hard to say. And I just ripped through that like nobody's business. And you know what? You would be right.
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
If Steve ruled the world.
One of the coolest things about Summerfest is the relationships that have been born on the grounds. We all know somebody who met at Summerfest, dated, then got married, often divorced years later, but let's stay on the positive. Let's not blame society's failures on the greatest music festival on the planet. It starts with a casual glance on one of the side stages during the band's break, perhaps an offer of a beverage or two, casual conversation, often awkward, but as the night goes on, fueled by alcohol and the passion of what might be, a precursor to a night to remember. Memory of the night, probably, but not the name of the person you spent the night with. But again, different story for a different day. It's part of our unique relationship here between festivals and romance of our brief but spectacularly hot summer. Come on, who hasn't had this experience? I dare you to find a person in Southeast Wisconsin who doesn't have one or two of these hookups on their Summerfest dance card. It's the backdrop to some awfully good music.
How are you? Summer loving. Had me a blast.
Summer loving happened so fast.
I met a girl crazy for me.
Met a boy cute as can be.
Summer days drifting away to another summer night.
If Steve ruled the world.
All right, a little grease for you there. If you listen to the show, you know I love to talk about summer weather. It's a reason why we continue to live in the States. The opportunity to thaw out and unwind after our long, cold six-month winters. Although climate change, I said six-month on purpose, weather people. Although climate change might knock it down to about 4.5 in our lifetime, Summerfest is the centerpiece of a summer culture here in Wisconsin that celebrates shedding our coats, shedding our inhibitions, and hopefully shedding our political affiliations. If even for a moment, of course, that's always challenged by the Rube, who decides to wear his Let's Go Brandon t-shirt to Summerfest. Here's something for all the Let's Go Brandon fans out there. The former presidents of the United States with a rather unique take on walls, paints, and hot temperatures.
You see the wall there. You see the wall here. And they have to get a paint job on the wall. It doesn't sound very elegant, right? The wall is a steel wall with very powerful concrete, 5,000-pound concrete in each bollard. And then in that, you have rebar, very powerful rebar. It's very, very hard to cut, very hard to do anything about. And we have to get that painted now. They have to paint it. Because if they don't paint it, bad things are happening. I'm looking, and it has to be painted. And the best color to paint it is black. Because if you paint it black, It's so hot, nobody can even try to climb it. Not that they're successful anyway. Those are anti-climb panels on top, which I didn't want to do, but they said, sir, we need them, and they are great protection.
If Steve ruled the world.
So much sense or so much nonsense. You decide. A short one as we head to the stretch. As I've said, summer and Summerfest is a chance to relax, unwind, just enjoy some great music on a great lake with friends, family, and about 100,000 other people who really just want the same thing. To forget about all the other nonsense swirling around our heads, it's a festival designed to lower your blood pressure, raise your spirits, and chill your soul, all in the heat of a summer day in Milwaukee. And I know he's a Jets. Damn you, Aaron Rodgers, but I think he had it right.
Five letters here, just for everybody out there in Packerland and yourself today. R-E-L-A-X. Relax.
If Steve ruled the world.
I'll end it this way. Summerfest returns in the summer this year where it should be. And it did last year, too. Weekends only for sure, but I get it. With the promise of incredible performances, new relationships, and an enthusiastic, symbolic, post-pandemic, post-Trump, optimistically speaking, middle finger for all the BS we've had to put up for the last few years. Here's a return to normalcy. Here's for that. From festivals to politics and everything in between, that is this week's...
If Steve ruled the world.
Take us to break, Brandon.
Summertime is finally here. That old ballpark man is back in gear. Out on 49. Man, I can see the lights. School's out and the night's rolling, man. Just like a long lost friend you ain't seen in a while. You can't help but smile. And it's two bad feet on the dashboard. A sip of wine, it's summertime. Sweet summertime.
Hope you enjoyed that. That's what Steve said. No, if Steve ruled the world. See, I get confused sometimes. But kind of a look at Summerfest. There's a lot of political, cultural snark thrown in, even some conversation about the beer wars and all that stuff. Hope you enjoyed that. We've been entertaining your stories and memories on Father's Day weekend as we get ready to launch into that this weekend. From the 414, and you can share them at 855-616-1620, the old National Bank talk and text line. From the 414, I grew up in the 50s and 60s. Our dad was super quiet, not athletic, quite smart. He worked hard and we were well taken care of. After he passed, our mom revealed that it was our dad who always wanted to get us, in quotes, one more toy while Christmas shopping. The first to urge her to call the doctor if we were sick. Always behind the scenes, he was the best. Thankfully, we always felt his love. I love dad's stories. And, you know, I shared this on Twitter this morning as part of my show poll, and I'll read the results so far in a second. But not all... couple people quickly reminded me, and I was expecting it, but it was kind of stunning when I saw it. Not everybody had great dads, and I get that. And nothing, as I often say on the show, is absolute. So there's always going to be that, you know, sort of disclaimer, right? You hope that dads are going to be the best and great examples, but that's not always the case. So I acknowledge that, and thanks to a couple people for reminding about that. So I simply asked in the show poll today, and if you're not on the Twitter or the Twit, as I like to call it, you can share your thoughts on the old National Bank talk and text line, 855-616-1620. What's the best thing about your dad? And I gave you a few choices, and you can create your own. Great role model, 30% of you have said that. Always there for me is the leader right now with 45%. And I got a lot of this on the text line, his sense of humor, 14%. And as I said, I think the best dads are all of those things. And I wanted you to think about that because, like a lot of holidays, and I made this point earlier, like a lot of holidays, we sometimes forget what the holiday is about. And it becomes, as I said, presents, the PRESENTS version versus the PRESENCE version. And I like the latter. Todd says on Twitter, all of the above, my father is all these things and more. At almost 90 years old, he's still the go-to person in my life. Thanks for sharing that. So for all the fathers out there on this day, on this weekend, well done. Nobody's perfect. Nothing is absolute, as I often like to say. All right. After the break, in the next half hour, we have a couple things to do. Week in Review, sponsored by Outdoor Living Unlimited, at some point in the next half hour. Also, we are going to give away a 4-pack of Summerfest tickets. That's all coming up in the next half hour. So pay attention. I gave the keyword earlier. I'm not going to...
What if I get the keyword?
No, you don't get the tickets.
I've never been to Summerfest.
Seriously?
I've never been.
How is that even possible? Didn't you grow up here?
Well, I left when I was 18 for the Army. I didn't come back until 2019, but it was in July. And then, as we all remember, that following summer, there was no Summerfest. So maybe this year.
Well, you had a good reason to not come. I promise that I will get you tickets for some free tickets for Summerfest.
Okay. I'll hold you to that.
I'm not giving you anything because they're free upstairs. But, you know, I can take credit for it if I want. All right, so we will do all of those things in the next half hour. Before we get there, though, we have to get to the news. It's 11:31 here at our Avenue Studios in downtown Milwaukee. And here with the news is Connie Weber. All right, we're going to find out if people are listening in the 9 o'clock hour, because I gave it out twice in very rapid succession. The keyword that is the tickets, or the key, I should say, to win the tickets. 4-pack of tickets to Summerfest, which begins next week. Let's start with Mary from Kenosha. Hi, Mary from Kenosha.
Well, hi, Steve.
How are you on this Friday?
I'm doing good.
All right. Were you listening at 9 o'clock hour?
I was.
So, what is the keyword to win the 4-pack of tickets to Summerfest, Mary?
Tell you true. Is it champagne? I wasn't sure what you were saying. Was it champagne?
So why? You're close, Mary. So I'm gonna stretch this out a little bit. So what does that represent? The name that you're trying to say. What does that represent?
Oh, I have no idea.
All right, we got to let you go. Patty calling from Watertown. Okay. Was I too hard on Mary? I don't think so. Mary, good luck next time. Patty from Watertown. What was the keyword that I gave in the 9 o'clock hour?
Harry Chapin,
yes. I could have been a stickler there, Patty. Patty, you won a 4-pack of tickets to Summerfest. How are you feeling right now?
I'm feeling excited. The last time I was to Summerfest was to see Tina Turner in 98 or 99.
Wow, that was a great concert. Remember the concert?
It was the best concert I've ever seen,
all right,
honestly.
Well, you are the lucky recipient of a 4-pack of tickets, so... enjoy the experience. Enjoy the return. Hopefully you get to see some music that you like. So let's get Patty's information. And Mary, call back from Kenosha. Call back, Mary. We'll do something for you. I don't want to be that strict on this, but I wanted to be fair to all the callers. See, that it was I'm like vetting all this on the air. But Mary, call us back. We'll figure something out. All right. So I was asking for Father's Day stories, memories. And a lot of people, you know, let's be honest, their dad's not around anymore. So a lot of interesting stories. Carol, my father was a good provider and did the best he could. A strong work ethic was one of his best qualities. He once cleared 3 acres of land by himself, removing huge boulders, etc., then sold it. He made swings for us in the trees. We had fun watching and picnicking there. He made a whistle out of a metal can to use it to whistle or carry a tune. He had a good ear for music. I love those kind of stories. Those are dad stories. One of the things that I'm getting a lot of Happy Father's Day, and thanks to everybody that's sharing that, and I will share that with my dad this weekend as well. It's a special weekend for all of us who have been fathers and who have had the ability to raise children, and it's never been harder than it is now. So as much as I occasionally on this show criticize parents and parenting, I get it. It's hard. You know, and I've always argued that, you know, you got to be all in. You can't be, you know, scattered. You have to be consistent. and there's a lot of challenges. You know, Eric and I were talking yesterday and today in the 8 o'clock hour. I was filling in while Vince was on vacation, and the challenges of social media, can't even imagine what that's like for parents. One, just the basic decision to give your kid a smartphone. A phone, a connection to all this world out there that doesn't necessarily have your kid's best interest in it. And so that's just day one of that process. And then you got to figure out, what are they doing on it? Who are they interacting with? And in the case of some of the sad stories that Eric told us about, it didn't end well. So parenting is never easy, and being a dad is never easy. So I also want you to think about that as we go through this weekend. Lynn says, the bad dad jokes that are popular now remind me of my dad, who would tell those groaner jokes, even though he passed away 25 years ago at the age of 62. Thanks for that, Lynn. I appreciate that. All right, so after the break, we're going to do something we do every Friday. It's the Week in Review, and I love this segment. And trust me, it's not easy to put it together, and I don't. It's the producers that do it, and specifically Adam. But it's a great way to kind of get a sense of what we were talking about this week, the stories that mattered, the voices we heard, and kind of a retrospective on all the things that were swirling around the week that was. And that's why I love this segment. So we'll take a break, and after the break, we'll get to the Weekend Review, sponsored by Outdoor Living Unlimited. Join WTMJ Sandy Max and the American Red Cross for our WTMJ Cares event, the Milwaukee County Zoo Blood Drive. Donate blood during this three-day drive, Monday, June 26th to Wednesday, the 28th, to help boost the supply of necessary blood during this shortage. Plus, if you register for the event, get this, you get free zoo admission, and we're just talking about this, tickets to Summerfest. Summerfest tickets are available while supplies last. For more information and to sign up, this is important, text the word blood, B-L-O-O-D, B-L-O-O-D, to 855-616-1620. It's WTMJ Cares with our very own Sandy Max with the help of Gruber Law Offices. Text the word blood, 855-616-1620. All right, we do this every week on the program. This week is no different. A former president arraigned in Miami. A woman from Ecuador returns from the dead. A shared revenue agreement in Madison and more. It's the Week in Review, brought to you by Outdoor Living Unlimited.
What we do here is go back.
Legendary hard rock band Kiss is returning to Wisconsin for what will likely be their final concert in the state later this summer.
From the WTMJ Breaking News Center, a police standoff is currently underway at an apartment near 84th and Marion in Milwaukee.
We know you're in there. We have a search warrant. Come to the door with your hands up.
Hours of that, only to find out the suspect, police say, was not inside.
And still nobody home.
Now the 3-2 swung on a pop foul back here.
Ow! Ow! Ow!
Happening right now, former President Donald Trump turning himself into a Miami courthouse.
Former President Trump's inside a federal courthouse in Miami. They processed his arrest. He's hearing charges against him in the classified documents case.
The decision to pursue charges against President Trump while turning a blind eye to others is emblematic of the corruption that we have here.
We saw one dressed in like a prison jumpsuit, and some of the president's supporters actually surrounded him. They swarmed him, and police had to step in, break it up, and make sure that that person was safe.
We need people who are running for office and are involved in office that turn the temperature down and try to find consensus and get the job done that people pay us to do, and not focus on throwing more gasoline on the fire.
There's a growing perception among the American people that there is a double standard, and there's been real clear abuses of power in recent years that have caused people to mistrust the government.
The police have to constantly change and move and grow and do all these things, and the public gets to act a fool, gets to shoot and kill each other. Can we protest about the kid, the one-year-old that died, instead of protesting against the police? No, we don't do that.
Damn!
Everyone's bowing their heads, one by one walking up, crossing, perhaps, taking a moment to remember her. And then they hear,
I'm in here!
Get me out of here!
Watertown police investigating a fatal plane crash near Brant Quirk Park.
I was just mowing my lawn, and then I felt this like huge boom, and like felt it in the ground. It like shook beneath me.
Records show the plane was heading to a small airport in northern Wisconsin.
From the WTMJ Breaking News Center, the news is from Madison, where the state Senate has passed the shared revenue proposal negotiated last week.
I've got an update on the progress of the shared revenue bill in the Wisconsin legislature. It is now passed the assembly.
Right now, we're going to talk to the governor of the great state of Wisconsin, Tony Evers, who joins us on the phone.
I sensed after the last election that there seemed to be more willingness to have conversations. From that, that's how we've got to where we're at.
It is my honor to do what's right by our kids. But I also want to say that that was some bullshit.
The bill will allow the Milwaukee Common Council and the Milwaukee County Board to approve sales tax increases.
Anytime that there's been a question about the city's ability to continue on, to remain solvent, to not get trapped into a financial death spiral, the Common Council has stepped up and answered that question and taken that vote.
What I hope happens is they don't Thelma and Louise in the car off the cliff, and that they look at that there is no room now to kick this fiscal can down the road. It's really going to go off the cliff.
A construction worker at Lambeau Field is said to be in critical condition after what is being called a serious incident.
Here's the 2-2. Strike three. It's over. The Whitefish Bay Blue Dukes Division I state champions.
For any parent who gets to watch their kids, do something they love doing and have spent a lot of time, you know, working hard to get good at it, it's fun to watch the results of that.
What a week, eh?
What a week.
That was some bull.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
Ah, yes, Weekend Review sponsored by Outdoor Living Unlimited. A few more Father's Day texts, and you still have some time to get on the old text line, the old National Bank talking text line, 855-616-1620, as we celebrate Father's Day weekend. My dad from the 262 is one of the main reasons I became a math teacher for 43 years. I will always be grateful to him for that. Mike from Heartland, my father was always there for me. He taught me good work ethic. And as I mentioned, I was the only one of his sons or daughters that hunted, and he could pretty much fix anything. Those are always great memories. And, you know, I'll leave you with this before we go to break, and then we'll see what Jeff's going to talk about. It is a time to celebrate dads, right? And again, not all dads are perfect. And as I've said over and over again, dads and guys do a lot of dumb things. Let's focus on the positive, the leaders they can be, the mentors, the role models, the humor providers, sometimes the means to an end to be a better adult as a child. So let's honor the fathers this weekend and have fun. I'm not going to golf this weekend, but I'm going to be at a golf tournament that celebrates all of that and a lot of other things. And I look forward to seeing some of my old high school buddies as well. So keep them coming. We'll try to squeeze a few more in before we get out of here. We'll take a break here. You're listening, of course, on this Father's Day weekend, Friday, to WTMJ. That certainly applies to me, although my week is done, and I'll be handing off to Jeff here in a second. So a couple things. Hit up our show poll on 620 WTMJ, just asking about what your dad meant to you. And we had a lot of great responses today, a lot of great feedback and commentary. And it's different for everybody. And I, you know, I also acknowledge that not everybody had a great dad, and hopefully that's not your case. Shout out to my dad, Dominic, who served the National Weather Service for 30-plus years, been retired for 30-plus years, still doing great, walking every day with my mom, and was a great role model to four sons, all who have achieved some pretty significant stuff in their lives. So thanks to my dad, Dominic. And encourage all the moms, dads, families, friends, and everybody to have fun this week. It looks like the weather's going to be fantastic here in southeastern Wisconsin. Oh, no reason not to get out. I'm going to be grilling out on Sunday, which is something we look forward to here in Wisconsin. So celebrate the dads. Have your fun. I'll be back on Monday with Carol Kane. Lots to look forward to. Going out to dinner tonight. It's just the perfect weekend for fathers across the area. Jeff Wagner, I am excited about this weekend.
Absolutely. You got no golf plans, though, huh?
No golf. I golfed last night. We were just sharing some stories. Was not happy with my game. I hit the ball well, but I could not score, and my short game was horrific.
See, I'm looking forward to this because I'm going to hopefully play tomorrow morning, Sunday morning, and then nine holes with my wife on Saturday night. So,
I got to give it to you. You are really enthusiastically getting into the golf this year.
I am. The problem is, well, again, I had a lesson Wednesday morning. I'll go into the woman who I work with and I'll say, I can't hit the ball. And she'll say, what do you mean you can't hit the ball? I say, I don't know how else to say it. I can't hit the ball. And then she'll say, okay, well, take two swings. And it is amazing how people can diagnose it. She looks at me after I take two practice swings and says, okay, this is, You've fallen back into this one bad habit. She said, yeah, you got to be here instead of here with your backswing. And then, really? And then all of a sudden, boom, you start hitting the ball again.
The best golfers can repeat their swings, and they rarely have these problems. But everybody, all the rest of us, we don't have repeatable swings. We fall back into the same things we did 5 years ago.
Right.
Just because we just don't have that mindset or something.
But what I find and what I always recommend people who are taking up the game is to find somebody that you like, that you work with on a regular basis, because, you know, all the different pros and instructors have different theories and all. I don't need to reinvent the wheel. I need to, I'm not going to be on the senior tour. I just find, you know, what am I doing wrong?
Yeah.
You know, and they can tell. It's
and
amazing.
Sometimes it's just solid contact if you can figure that out, and hit it straight if you can. Not everybody, and even pros make mistakes, so you're not going to be perfect, and I certainly am not. But if you can hit it straight and fairly consistently, golf could be your game. And it's the cool thing about it is, on any one day, you could have a birdie just like pros do, and any day like I did yesterday, I had an 8 on a hole, which I should never have.
Well, plus, as long as I love it. It really is a game for the lifetime, because I love it because first of all, it's fun. You're out. It's a nice situation. My wife and I play, you know, a couple times a week, just like 9 holes and stuff like that. So you get out there, and it's the golf course is pretty. And as long as you don't take it serious, and I've never been one of these club throwers or anything like that.
I used to be like that. I'm not anymore.
Yeah, it's not worth it. I mean, I'm never giving up my day job for that. All right, speaking of my day job, we have a lot of great stuff coming up on the program this afternoon. Some serious stuff and then some gradually lighter stuff. I want to talk about some of the latest developments in the war in Ukraine. I want to talk about what's going on with the problems at the border and how some people are outraged. There's a couple interesting articles in the newspaper that I want to comment on that kind of reflect this sort of change that is going on at the newspaper and their approach to stuff. Interesting piece, and the question becomes, should we have historical reenactments anymore? It's a fascinating story, and I want to raise that with you. Also, the Public Service Commission, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, but they appear to be moving kind of in this direction. They're thinking that, you know, maybe you shouldn't have to pay for your utilities, your electricity, your gas. You shouldn't have to pay based on how much you use. Instead, it would be fairer, and I put that in air quotations, fairer to have people pay based on how much money they earn. Huh. So, in other words, if you make a lot of money or you make an average amount of money, be prepared to pay more for your utilities than somebody who doesn't make as much money. We're going to be discussing that, and there's a lot more stuff coming up on the program, including my experiences at Total Wine a couple weeks ago, my experiences on the road, and my senior moment of the morning. All that leads us, of course, into Pop Culture Corner at 2:30 this afternoon. The Wagner Show starts right after the top of the hour news.